Life. On the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hello there, America. Common Sense time. Jim Brown here. We're going to go through some issues that affect all of us during this next two-hour period. Things happening in the news that I think will be interesting to you, trying to educate you and trying to educate me again as we try to make some common sense. My website, www.jimbrownusa.com. We got a lively show today. We're going to talk about this Wall Street corruption for dummies. What does all this corruption mean on Wall Street? Did the government do enough? How do we see that our financial mess does not continue? Because it affects you and me. It's our savings that have been diverted and reduced by the shenanigans up in Wall Street and out of Washington, D.C. for the failure to properly regulate. Then we're going to talk about this red state, blue state stuff, partisan divide. Are we really a divided country with no middle ground there at all? We'll talk about that. Finally, we're going to talk about women in combat, good or bad. Women are now going to be right in the front lines in combat. There are pros and cons, and we'll talk about them as the show goes along. By the way, I want to tell our listeners up in New Jersey, New York, WVNJ, I said I was going to broadcast up there this week and planned on doing so. Actually, was up there earlier in the week and had left all my materials up there when we do a remote show. But I got diverted back home to our flagship station here at WJBO in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We're broadcasting here in the sunny south this week, and we'll be up there in New York next week. New Jersey, for all you folks again at WVNJ, we'll be broadcasting live from your part of the country, and certainly looking forward to doing so. Well, immigration is back on the front burner. It seems like every 10 years or so, we have an immigration crisis in this country. There's probably more interest in it now than there's been for some time. And surprisingly, Republicans are taking the lead. Now, the Republicans have always been, particularly in their campaigns, the first to say, build higher fences, build a 100-foot fence if you have to. If you're not legal, go back to where you came from. But I think what happened is that instead of principle, and get this, instead of principle, we're now talking politics. I like John McCain. I think he's a great war hero, senator from Arizona. But when Senator John McCain, a Republican, was asked why Republicans were actively joining Democrats in a bipartisan effort to legalize millions of illegal immigrants, McCain very forthrightly replied, simple, elections. The Republican Party is losing the support of Hispanics. In other words, folks, principle's gone out by the wayside, out the window, and politics is the driving force to survive and succeed in the nation's capital. And so, and again, we're trying to be reasonable here as we talk about this very complicated issue, but here's the questions I want to raise. Whatever happened to the laws in the books concerning illegal immigration? When you break into my home, you are committing a crime. But when you break into my country, it has become, at least to our leaders in Washington, merely an embarrassing inconvenience, right? Republicans, I'm sorry to say, seem to be throwing in the towel and giving up on seeing the current laws enforced. Has it become okay to set aside the law and ignore its violation for political purposes? It would appear to be so. And then I'll tell you another thing that disturbs me. What about all this stuff in the reference to, quote, undocumented workers? What are undocumented workers? The lead Republican in this effort to legalize those who have illegally entered the U.S. is Florida Senator Marco Rubio. He seems to be one of the leading candidates for president in 2016. He's on the cover of Time magazine here recently. He conveniently refers to these illegals as, quote, individuals who are living in the United States without proper immigration documents. Huh? That's like saying that your local drug dealer is in possession of large amounts of cocaine, but just forgot to get a doctor's prescription. Come on, Marco. They're not folks in the United States without proper immigration documents. They snuck across the border. They broke our law. Same thing if you or I would sneak across the border into Switzerland, into France, or any other country. We'd be lawbreakers. We'd be criminals. Then I noticed that no one wants to talk about amnesty anymore. You see, neither party wants to own up to the fact that when you give a blanket exoneration to 11 million illegals, maybe more, they're now going to receive instant legal status. Now, here's what happens, and this gets where it gets a little complicated. This is important, folks. Republicans and Democrats alike vehemently deny that that amnesty will take place under this new proposal. You'll be free and have no obligations. Oh, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. That's because illegals will have to get in line for both a green card and citizenship. You can get a green card to let you work indefinitely in the U.S., and you can get citizenship after paying a fine and back taxes. And so there's going to be this whole new complicated procedure where you've got to pay all your back taxes and pay fines and get in line again. Well, look, that's about as close to amnesty as you can get. You know, maybe we're not calling it amnesty, but I saw on one of the national talk shows Senator Charles Schumer from New York. He is a leading proponent of amnesty. And he says, legalizing all these illegals, he says, make no bones about what he thinks when he says this. Here's what Senator Schumer says. On day one of our legislation, the people without status, they're illegal immigrants, the people without status, he calls them, who are not criminals or security risk, will be able to live and work here legally. So probationary legal status becomes automatic. And so Senator Schumer and other naive members of Congress say, well, then what's going to happen is all these illegals are going to pay back taxes and get in line. They're not under any threat of being deported anymore, so they're going to follow the laws on the books. They're going to wait for 10 years. Hogwash, that's not going to happen. If you're not going to be prosecuted anymore, then illegals don't have to live in the shadows, you see. And I know when President Reagan passed a major immigration reform law back, I believe, in 1986. So there was a path for legitimacy or for citizenship. Only about 35% of all the illegal aliens took that step towards citizenship. The rest of them said, hey, we're here. We've got the authority to go ahead and carry on. No one's going to send us back. No one's going to send us back home to where we came from. We're okay. And most of them did not apply for citizenship. They just got in the door, you see. They just got in the door. And I think Boston College immigration expert, I've got a quote here by Peter Scarry. He points out that a quarter century after the 1980s amnesty, 35% of the 2.7 million individuals who became legal had not become a citizen, had not become a citizen. So we're getting into a real murky area, a slippery slope of bringing 11 or 12 million people in. What about immigration? Do we need to have more immigrants come into this country? Of course we do. We are a country of immigrants. You and I are the product of the immigrants that came into this country several hundred years ago in most instances. My wife's a second-generation American. Many of my friends are second generation. So their parents came in illegally, became citizens, and paid the price, and are now full-fledged citizens. And we need that immigration coming in. That's one of the problems in this country today. Just because there's a border, we allow thousands to come in illegally, but don't do it the right way. We'll talk some more. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show. Let me freshen up my coffee. We'll come right back and talk some more.
Listening to Jim. Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Working on a home or residential painting project? There's only one name you need to know, PPG. PPG has earned the respect of professionals and homeowners alike because we combine the latest paint technology with expertise and knowledgeable service. PPG offers a broad range of primers, paints, stains, and specialty products to meet all your needs. Available at either our PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints Company-owned store or independent dealer locations throughout the U.S. Each PPG product comes with the customized service you deserve to make sure you get the right fit for the job. And choosing colors has never been easier thanks to the PPG Voice of Color system that helps users discover colors that match their personality. So for the best quality products, excellent service, easy-to-use color tools, and great results, visit your local PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints location today.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, February 28, 2013. Gold opened this morning at $1592.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1632.92, $816.46 for a half ounce, or $408.23 for a quarter ounce. That's $1632.92, $816.46, and $408.23.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Is there a less expensive way to detoxify your body? Yes. Microplant powder from hempusa.org frees your body of toxins from virus, fungus, bacteria, vaccinations, pharmaceutical residues, heavy metals, parasites, and toxic chemicals in your food and water for around $10 a month. And for persistent health issues, try our Matrix Bio Powder together with microplant powder for a deeper cellular cleaning. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our family's health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here. Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown. Jim Brown.
We're talking about this whole immigration, the debate that's going to go on for some time to come. I wrote about it this week in my column that's on the GCN website. You can also get it off my website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Now, as this debate is carried forth up in Washington, many of the proponents of legalizing the some 12 million illegal immigrants in this country, primarily Hispanics from south of the border, What they argue is that these illegals are filling open jobs for farm labor as well as domestic and construction jobs that are available, that we need the jobs, that nobody else will take these jobs. I guess my question is, does one have to be a lawbreaker to perform these tasks? There are millions of non-citizens who have skills and want to come to the U.S. legally. Now, that's one of our problems, this whole immigration quota system. You see, we don't let people come into this country based on their abilities or education. We set these ethnic and racial quotas. We don't try to attract the best and the brightest. And what happens is that no country can have more than 7% each year, so they give out only 140,000 green cards, new people to come in and work in the U.S. And so what this means is that small countries like Belgium or Guyana, they've got a good chance of getting in, because the waiting list for citizens of populous countries like China and India, where you've got some tremendously talented scientists and engineers who could be of such great additional value to our country, they have a lower priority of getting in because of the vast numbers. So the system is out of whack, and it just doesn't work. We've got to attract the best and the brightest. So, but you don't have to be a lawbreaker to come in, to come into this country legally. And by the way, I was up in Washington a few weeks ago at a luncheon involving a number of people around the country, and I was there as a radio host and sat at the table with Walter Isaacson. Walter Isaacson's former editor of Time magazine and was the biographer of Steve Jobs, the new Steve Jobs book out that's been such a huge bestseller. And Isaacson talked to me, and this is in the book, but we talked about the fact that Jobs famously turned against Barack Obama in 2011 when the president wouldn't sponsor a law to award work visas to foreigners who earned advanced degrees in technology and the sciences. We have a huge shortage there. We don't have native-born Americans who are skilled workers to the tune we need them. And so Jobs said, look, open it up. And Obama said, well, it just is kind of tough to get done. And Walter Isaacson told me the president's a very smart guy, but he kept explaining the reasons why things can't get done. And Jobs, who was in the center of this huge technology revolution with Apple, just felt like Obama punted and wouldn't bring in the best and the brightest. We lost some huge opportunities, so they had a huge breakup on that. And that's Isaacson's walks writes about it in great detail in his book. So, and by the way, let's talk about the fact that we have these jobs that can't be performed. Why can't we perform those jobs? We need these immigrants to come in and mow the grasses for our golf courses and do the construction work. What happened? We've got this huge unemployment level out there. Let me give you one example. In the state of Washington, they have the second highest unemployment rate in the country. The college unemployment is over 40%. Some 45% of college students want to work to get through college, supposedly, but they can't get a job. Now, the University of Washington is about an hour from all the apple fields out in Washington, all the fruit fields, the produce, apples and pears and oranges, all they produce out there. And you're paid by the bin. If you get a bin of fruit, it takes you about an hour to get yourself a bin of fruit, and you make $40 a bin. Now, hear me on this. You're making $40 an hour to fill a bin, which is what a good worker can do. College students say they're begging for jobs, can't find jobs, and apparently picking fruit is beneath them. So you and I pay for their and support their college loans, and many of those go unpaid. They're defaulted, so you and I have to suck that up as taxpayers. Thousands of these students at University of Washington and other colleges get food stamps, so you and I pay for that. We are subsidizing their education quite a bit. Yet they're too proud, apparently, to go pick fruit. Were you too proud when you were trying to work your way through school? I wasn't. I've got 8 years of higher education. I went to University of North Carolina. It didn't take 6 or 7 years to get out. The average kid today gets out in 6 years. When you and I were in school back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, if you didn't graduate in 4 years, there was kind of a stigma on you. I know I was one course short, and I went to summer school at the University of Washington in St. Louis to take one course so that I could graduate in 4 years. I certainly wanted to graduate in 4 years. You kind of had to do that. Like I say, it was a stigma on you if you didn't. Then I went worked my way through 3 years of law school and a year going to school over in Cambridge over in England. And my folks weren't able to help me much on special occasions like birthdays and holidays. Mom would send me $50. The rest of it I had to pay for myself. So I got jobs. Like many of you listening right now, you had to work to get yourself through school or support your family. And I took any job I could get. I worked on the Kansas City Southern Railroad. I was the helper to the engineer. The engineer went to sleep, and I drove that train all night long, night after night after night, all through the summers when I was in college. I worked in a steel mill as a helper there. I cut up trees and dumped those one summer. You name it. I put in air conditioners one summer. When I was in law school, I took every odd job you could get. I was down at Tulane University in New Orleans. Tuition was very expensive. You name it, I did it. I was a bitty football coach and basketball coach in a local school. Got paid for that. I played my banjo. I'm not very good today. Used to be a pretty good banjo player. Played my banjo at a place called Your Father's Mustache on Bourbon Street. Now, if you've not been to Bourbon Street, that place really rocks, particularly around Mardi Gras. Boy, it's jam-packed. Played my banjo at Your Father's Mustache, and then went down to kind of a flea bag hotel, the DeSoto Hotel. Worked as the night manager there because I could kind of sleep and do my homework. I'm not patting myself on the back because there are thousands of you out there listening all over America who have the same story to tell. Point I'm making is that if you can make $40 an hour for picking fruit, Georgia's got the same problem. Huge fruit production, can't get anybody to pick the fruit. So illegals are coming there to pick the fruit. Huge unemployment, particularly among college students in Georgia. Those folks have got some alternatives, yet we apparently have to bring in 11 million illegals to pick the fruit and do all this work because our kids and those who need a job can't fill the job. Now, look, I'm not some right-wing ultra-conservative. I'm just talking about practical, common-sense solutions to our unemployment problem, to our immigration problem. We want to bring into this country the best and the brightest, and they should come in, but they ought to do so legally. You know, remember Pat Paulson, the really funny comedian? He passed away a few years back. Here's his quote. All the problems we face in the United States today can be traced back to an unenlightened immigration policy on the part of the American Indian. You and me, we should have never come in the first place, according to if the Indians had cracked the whip. It was their country. We took it away, didn't we? Catch yourself a breath. We'll be right back on the Common Sense Show.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Stop the pain from broken, chipped, and damaged nails with a revolutionary new nail hardener, Nails of Steel. Apply just one drop of Nails of Steel over natural or polished nails and go. With Nails of Steel, there's virtually no drying time, and it's guaranteed. Order this all-natural, antifungal, and herbal formula for women and men at nailsofsteel.com. That's nailsofsteel.com. Nails of Steel. It's like a salon in a bottle.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
We have heard so much in recent weeks about this sequestration. A lot of you don't know what that term even means, but to some people outside of Washington, D.C., the government's shutting down, the state capitals all boarded up, the airlines are going to be brought to a halt because there's nobody up in the control towers, that we're here to doomsday scenario because of some cuts in the budget. Let's try to get a little handle on this thing, get some explanations if we can. Joining me right now on our program is a former guest we've had before. John Berlaw is Senior Fellow for Finance at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, lives in Washington, D.C. Want to get John's thoughts on this. John, good morning. Welcome to the Common Sense Show.
Always good to be on, Jim.
And John, respond, if you would, to what I just said. You're living up there in Washington, and we in the outer lands are just, there's a real doomsday scenario. Armageddon is taking place. How bad is it up there right now? Is life going on at all in Washington?
Well, actually, Washington is where some of the places people are most obsessing over it, because how liberals are like, how could we live with a 2% cut? And whereas people, everywhere else are like, well, unfortunately, in this recession, families have sometimes had to cut a lot more than 2%. So have small businesses. I mean, 2%, $85 billion out of a trillion really isn't real. Really isn't that over, and not all right. Away, of course. I mean, really isn't that much. It's just, it's been Obama's, trying to score political points by, pointing out the most drastic things that could have to be cut, but even he's backtracking a little bit from that.
Well, I think you made that one particular point that you know, when you talk about the cuts, that's over a year's time. So if there's 2% and you take 1/12 of that 2% for this month, and it's not like these things hit immediately, and that's the impression we get, you know, from all the debate going on in Washington right now. So what does sequestration mean? A lot of my listeners don't even know what the term means. Just what does sequestration mean?
It means that there will be automatic cuts. Now, how automatic, and, you know, control over the cuts, you know, so that they're less, you know, essential and more waste is something they're talking about right now. This was how they resolved, President Obama and Congress resolved the debt ceiling in 2011, is that they agreed to, if Congress and the President couldn't agree on certain cuts for 2% of the budget, there would be automatic cuts to that at random, and that agencies would just have to cut, and still at their discretion, 2% of their budget.
Now let me ask you this.
No agreement is.
You know, if you're running your office up there, you're up in Washington, and you're told, look, you've got to cut 2% from the Competitive Enterprise Institute budget. Well, you can maybe shut one program down altogether. You might go to another program and say, well, no, we can't cut this one at all. Is that how sequestration works, or is it across the board? Is it just 2% of every single person's budget? How does the logistics of it work?
Well,
do you happen to know that?
2%, this is one of the reasons President Obama is so the Pentagon, which Republicans are usually supporters of, and others would share the pain equally. Although, you know, you could argue, and I do argue, the Pentagon is certainly more essential than, say, the Department of Education. I would abolish the Department of Education. You know, there's still, even there, I would argue, there was still some waste they could cut. And again, it's already, I would say it's already having beneficial effects in that they're cutting some unneeded programs by, like, the Department of Labor's Green Job Survey. We had argued against that at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and also Congressman Issa had argued against that at the beginning. That's inherently subjective as far as what is a green job. Is clean coal a green job? Is wind really good for a windmill? Really good for wildlife when a giant windmill could kill birds? So, you know, I'm glad they got rid of that. I told Bloomberg, you know, we're none the poorer for that. It was subjective from the first place. But really, the bigger danger than these 2% cuts, even if some of them could be painful, is that we don't cut anything, and we have to inflate our money supply, and our debt is further downgraded, and we become like Greece.
Yeah, well, that's the danger as this grows and grows. Now let me ask you this. You are saying, I've read articles that you've written, and I've heard you talk about the fact that the 2% cut could be really alleviated, although maybe we need to be cutting, but that there is a huge cost to what you argue are unnecessary federal regulations across the board, not just on one industry, but from the oil industry that affects down here where I live in the Deep South to a cross-section of other industries. Your argument is that there is a huge cost to regulation that is unnecessary. Elaborate on that for me a little bit, if you will.
Arguing, and I said this in National Review and in CEI's blogs at openmarket.org, is there seems to be a contradiction illustrated by this question debate in the way progressives or liberals like President Obama view the economy. On the one hand, they view it as so fragile that even a 2% cut in government spending could bring everything to a halt, could cause more unemployment and things like that. But then they have no, they piled on regulation after regulation, 2,500 of the regulations of Obamacare and the Dodd-Frank, which is hitting community banks and credit unions more than the Wall Street banks, who have said it would be targeted after. Regulations, according to our economist Wayne Cruz at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, cost $1 trillion a year. And you mentioned some of the things like the moratorium, the permatorium, you know, in the Gulf states on drilling in the Gulf, and that's really having an impact. But according to, you know, liberals in Planet Washington, oh, the economy can withstand all these new regulation and billions, even a trillion in cost, but a little 2% cut in the government, for some reason, is too fragile to handle.
Well, how do you reach that balance? I know that you are a very free enterprise. The Competitive Enterprise Institute takes an approach that government should be as hands-off as possible. On the other hand, I think you would admit that or agree that you got to have some overall regulatory authority. We're here looking at the BP settlement down here in the Gulf right now that did a huge amount of damage down here. So there's got to be some reasonable regulation. How do you reach that balance? I mean, right now, we've got massive costs in lawyers galore fighting one regulatory agency versus another regulatory agency. Is there a philosophy or is there a standard that we could move to towards having reasonable regulation but not going to the direction that just costs us so much money for so many businesses that actually puts them out of business and doesn't bring the kind of results we're looking for in the first place?
I mean, I think there is. I mean, I'm certainly, you know, what free market people say is, you know, government should be there to punish the use of force and fraud and actually not living up to a contract. In BP's case, negligence and not following the rules that are existing. I mean, so certainly the tragedy of BP is BP is still in business. From the shutting down of the drilling, the moratorium, or what some are calling the permatorium, because it's never a moratorium, it's supposed to be temporary, never been lifted, is that, you know, small oil men are completely losing their livelihood because of BP's gross incompetence there. So that's what you need. And I think from a systemic, you know, from the system, I think you need like a regulatory ceiling, a cost, you know, a regulatory budget of, you know, that this cannot exceed more than this much cost on the economy. And there is a great start on that with the RAINS Act that Rand Paul and others are co-sponsoring, that says that all regulations that cost the economy more than $100 million estimated, I mean, we would actually have it lower than that because, you know, government can sometimes fudge the estimates, have to go after
Can I hold you off just one minute? I've got to take a mandatory break. I want to come back and continue the discussion, telling our listeners we're talking to John Berlaw. He's with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Got some questions about the Constitution and where we go in the future of interpretation. Jim Brown's Common Sense. Freshen up your coffee.
Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
If you're a contractor working in homes built before 1978, you could be fined. Fined up to $37,500. $37,500 per day per violation. If you're a landlord or property manager with rental properties built before 1978, you too could be fined. Fined up to $37,500. $37,500. We're Kachina. Kachina Lead Paint Solutions. Helping contractors and landlords comply with the new lead paint laws. Avoid the penalties. If you work on pre-78 houses, you must certify your firm. You must be a certified renovator to test for lead paint. If positive, you must use lead safe work practices. You must keep a tight paper trail in case of an audit. This law is enforced by the EPA or your state. If you remodel or rent properties built before 78, call Kachina for free information and a free phone audit. Call 888-800-5224. 888-800-5224. KachinaLeadPaintSolutions.com. Call us free. The audit is free. 888-800-5224. Kachina Lead Paint Solutions.
$4, $5, $6, even $7 a gallon? According to fuel industry insiders and economic experts, those are the forecasted fuel prices, with no end in sight. Fight back fuel prices with the Fuel Saver from AirFusionSystems.com. These fuel savers can save you from 20 to 40%. They're designed to fit any vehicle, from compacts to SUVs to transport trucks. The Fuel Saver works on all gas, diesel, even propane engines. Easy do-it-yourself installation in about 15 minutes. And the best part? No engine modifications, no computer chipping, no running wires, no chemicals, no water, no running costs, and no maintenance. And these fuel savers come complete with all parts and accessories. See how it works at AirFusionSystems.com, spelled AirFusion Systems.com. Or call 888-887-9981. 888-887-9981. Fuel savers from AirFusionSystems.com. Save fuel, save money, save Earth.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, glad you're joining us on the Common Sense Show today. My guest has been a guest on the show before. John Berlaw is a fellow who writes a great bit for the Competitive Enterprise Institute, senior fellow for finance up that way, written some interesting comments about the Constitution and how you interpret the Constitution. Some people say you give an exact interpretation of what the Founding Fathers meant, and even though it's 2013, you don't give from that interpretation. Others are saying, well, you got to modernize. You got to give an interpretation based on this day and time. John, you've written about this a good bit. You refer a lot to George Washington, our first president. Give me your thoughts on that in terms of where we are today of constitutional interpretation. Washington was an interesting guy. First of all, you write a lot about his perspective of dealing with that time and adapting to that time involving his agriculture activities. Tell us a little bit about Washington and your view on how proactive he was and how progressive he was.
Washington was really one of the country's earliest business innovators and large-scale entrepreneurs, and this is something scholars are just now, you know, rediscovering. He took, in fact, in one of my pieces, and I have to credit an editor for putting this in, he could be described as a Steve Jobs 1.0. He looked at Mount Vernon, which hadn't been productive as productive as it should be, producing tobacco, and decided, well, let's just change all this to wheat. It's better than the soil. Then he integrated the wheat with during colonization, a flour mill, which actually exported almost 300,000 pounds of flour to European countries and it was an international business. And then right after he became president, he integrated the wheat in another enterprise to build one of America's largest whiskey distilleries. And Mount Vernon, if you go visit there, just recently reopened the whiskey distillery and the flour mill. So you can tour through there. Mount Vernon even sells whiskey based on Washington's old recipe. So the spirit of entrepreneurship was a spirit very much in the founding father. So as I said in the piece, he understands, you know, what modern American commerce and what modern, you know, American small business and entrepreneurs are going through better than a lot of the Ivy League law professors who write and say, we need, what would those dead white men know about what we're going through today? Well, they would know a lot more than, you know, constitutionists and law professors writing for the New York Times.
Well, but you mentioned the New York Times, and you talked about the fact that a Georgetown law professor wrote in the Times that we should give up on the Constitution because the founding fathers knew nothing of our present Constitution. Now, on the other hand, let me play the devil's advocate with you. You made an eloquent case for adapting. Washington adapted. He found a better way to adapt and make his crops more productive and Mount Vernon more productive. What do you do with a Constitution that is set very firmly in dicta of rights and requirements? Does the Constitution adapt at all? How do you keep a Constitution relevant several hundred years after it was written?
That's a good point, and it sort of gets to something I think needs to be remarked on. Government's principles need to be fixed and need to be constrained so that individuals can more easily and entrepreneurs can more easily adapt without, you know, coming into contact with, you know, with these arbitrary rules that would burden them, you know, from adapting, from building their businesses, from, you know, traveling and seeking to better their lives. And I think the Constitution, I mean, you can move fixed principles to, say, a new technology. I mean, television and the movies, they didn't have that then, but they still had issues of freedom of speech in the press. So if there's a forum where you're speaking, you apply freedom of speech there. I think I would credit Antonin Scalia when he sided with some of the court's liberals on, you know, that said violent video games, even though I don't approve of every violent video games, deserve First Amendment protection, because although they didn't have video games in the Founding Fathers' day, they did have violent literature, and it, unlike some of the obscene, you know, literature of a sexual nature, that was certainly, violent literature was not banned then. So he was able to update, you know, to not update, but apply the principles to a new type of technology. I think that's the way it should be interpreted.
And I understand what you're saying about the courts, and the courts have not ruled on a number of these issues. The thing I would point out, and I want to get your thoughts on, are that when it comes to basic freedoms, when it comes to, you mentioned freedom of speech, but if you look at the interpretation coming down on search and seizure, invasion, reading emails, reading library records, the Patriot Act, all of these items that have come down, as we seem to be having a Washington mentality that you give up liberty for security, that there's a trade-off there. You've just got to give up your freedoms. We've seen such an erosion of freedoms I guess some could argue that it's not a liberal approach to eroding what's in the Constitution, that it's both liberals and conservatives, Republicans and Democrats, who seem to be giving up on individual liberties to a good bit based on what Congress has done, and to some degree some of the recent recent Supreme Court decisions. What's your thoughts on the giving up there based on what the Constitution said we should have, but what it doesn't seem like we're getting today?
That's a very good point. And at CEI, we consider ourselves more, you know, at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, more libertarian than conservative. And we have talked about the search and seizure ability, both, you know, to both for the you know, the war on terror, although we recognize the need, you know, of course, to catch terrorists and evildoers, and the war on drugs, and just some of the excesses that's hurting innocent Americans, as well as, you know, like in copyrights and that, you know, stop online piracy, where they would have, you know, run roughshod or been able to grab your emails if you were a suspected copyright violator, and we helped stop that. We joined with some liberals to help stop it. In the meantime, there were Democrats who were sort of, you know, attached to Hollywood, who wanted to expand, to run roughshod over the Fourth Amendment just to, you know, protect the copyrights of Hollywood and other places. So there are threats from all over to that, but we, you know, we're, you know, libertarian small L, which means, you know, we obviously don't support any political party, but libertarian, you know, the libertarian philosophy, and believing, you know, preserving the constitutional principles.
Yeah, we're struggling with that today, and it goes back to what you're saying. Do we go back to the constitutional guarantees, or do we take a different tact? And that concerns me, that whole area of freedom. So let me ask you about Washington. Now, you know, the focus in this last year has been Abraham Lincoln, with the movie coming out of Lincoln, Spielberg, that often got the facts wrong, but pointed a picture of a president struggling with a very difficult issue. I, by the way, am not a big Lincoln fan. I just can't believe that he sat there and allowed, now we're talking about terms of upwards of a million Americans, brother against brother, family against family, killing each other. But putting that aside, where do you put Washington? You've looked a lot at Washington and read a lot about him and looked at his abilities both in the private sector and the government sector. Where do you rank Washington in terms of the leadership of presidents in this country that you've observed over the years?
Oh, by far and above the best president we've ever had, for so many reasons. Just the peaceful transfer of power, that the fact that he was offered basically to be a king or dictator and turned it down. And I think he set a good example as far as a citizen legislator that he, you know, he was away from Mount Vernon. He built Mount Vernon's enterprises. He was away from it. But now, I mean, and there are just about thousands literally of letters of, you know, that he sent back to Mount Vernon about how to, you know, how the hedges should be trimmed, things like that. So he was, you know, a private sector entrepreneur who saw it as his duty, you know, to fight for these essential freedoms, but he never, you know, he always saw himself, and, you know, even when he was in government, as a citizen of the private sector, a private businessman, and then he didn't stay in, well, it wasn't Washington, D.C. wasn't built, but he didn't stay in government after he was president. He went back and built a whiskey distillery. How can you get more American than that?
I sure agree with you. So, hey, John, we're out of time. I really appreciate it, as always. John Berlaw is a senior fellow for finance and access to capital with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Good libertarian like me. John, glad to have you on the show.
Yes,
have a good weekend.
Is our website, opendarmarketmarket.org is our blog site. Thanks so much for having me on, Jim.
Okay, let's put that again. It's CEI.org. I'll put that up on our website, so we'll have it up there on our website here to learn more about the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Thanks, John. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Bye-bye. Interesting guy, John Berlaw, talking from more of a libertarian point of view. That's what this Common Sense show tries to reflect. Let government stay out of our lives. Leave us alone as much as possible. Be there to give us basic protection, but don't micromanage everything we do. And I agree with John on that. Glad to have him on the show. Hey, going to take a pause right now. Coming back and talking about immigration, cyber attacks on America. Gosh, we got a lively show and so much to talk about. My website, www.jimbrownusa.com. Freshen up your coffee, enjoy the news, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNLive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
March into Big Spring Preparedness Savings this month at BePrepared.com. Going on now. Emergency Essentials and BePrepared.com save you 28% off your favorite beef and chicken combo entrees. Save 24% on number 10 cans of freeze-dried raspberries. Or save 26% on our freeze-dried strawberry slices with purchase of 12 or more. Katadyn Pocket Micro Water Filters are 27% off. Try our fruit-flavored HydroPack Combo Water Filtering Pouches in March. Buy 5 10-packs for a 50% discount. Stock up on wheat with a year's supply of grains for $70 off, only at BePrepared.com. And this month, power up with a Goal Zero Sherpa 50 solar-powered recharging kit at $110 off MSRP. And we'll throw in a free $50 emergency essentials gift card. The March sale ends March 31st at BePrepared.com. For contents and details, call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 or click BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.